shall we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that you exist. We know you're real. We know by nature. We know by many ways that you are real, O God. But we would not know the truth of your reality outside of some identification you presented to us, which, Lord, we believe has come through the Word, and that Word, Lord, vindicated by a prophet. So we pray, Lord, that as we study your Word service by service, that we'll really recognize that truth, that this is what it's all about as far as worship is concerned and life and all these things, Lord, which you granted us. There has to be a word for it. So we pray you'll help us now in the study of your Word, that we'll be careful to know what your Word does say, that we will not pervert it anyway, Lord, nor allow others to pervert it to us, but that we will follow it, Lord, in our minds and our hearts and in our outward actions. Hopefully, Lord, will align completely with it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 5 of what we actually term question and answers, but which is a study in church order or church government, particularly dealing with some of the things that Brother Branham said concerning pastors. And in our studies concerning those statements that Brother Branham set forth relative to the pastor's position and authority in the church, we found if the pastor is a spiritual husband who is ordained to see the local assembly through, there must be certain prerequisites incumbent upon both the pastor and the people. Now, that's just logical. If the pastor, which really means shepherd, and he can be designated and is designated as a spiritual husband, it would signify that both the pastor and the people must have certain prerequisites, or he could never fill the bill, and they would never receive the bill filled. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, when you deal, of course, with the thought of shepherd and husband, you can see by bringing the two together that that would actually work. In other words, the word husband, like this word husbandry, the husband husbands the wife. The shepherd also would husband the sheep. So you can take the two and put them together quite beautifully, but then you must never extend them to the place where they would be illegitimate to the Word of Almighty God. So, looking at this statement that Brother Branham made, we know that the pastor must have qualifications, and the people also must have qualifications. So to begin, both pastor and people must be ordained and equipped by God to the end that the pastor has got both gifts and authority and prolonged strength, or the strength to carry out the ministry that will see the people through, and the people themselves must have the desire and the ability to receive what the pastor has for them, and also how it is to be done for them. So I'll go over that again if you like, because I write these down to make sure I know that I'm going to say it as well as I can. Both pastor and people must be ordained. Now, the word ordained, there's a command involved there, plus there's the understanding of predestination. Both pastor and people must be ordained and equipped by God to the end that the pastor has both gifts and authority and the strength to see them through. In other words, he could be ordained, he could have what it takes, but not within himself what it takes. In other words, he might not have that strength, that fortitude, and he could fall by the wayside. Now, that's possible, so don't sell it short. But a true prophet, a true minister, will have gifts and authority and the strength to see the people through, and the people will have the desire and ability to receive what the pastor has for them, and they will be not just tolerant and lenient, but there'll be an empathy between the people and the pastor so that they will receive in the manner in which he gives them this, the fruit of the gift ministry that he has. So, this is understood by reading any of the Gospels, but particularly John, where we see Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, dealing with the people of his day. Now, I made these statements here, so let's see if I'm correct in what I'm saying. So we start with John 8 and 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So, there is a division here in the economy of God between Jesus, the Redeemer, and the two types of people, at least, that he'll be dealing with. He said, I am from above and you're from beneath. That signifies a totalitarian authority from one realm to the other realm. And there is a difference between them. I'm not hitting the pastor on this, but I'm hitting the subject of what we're looking at so we can base it for the pastor. All right, you go to verses 30 to 32, the same chapter. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, he said, you're starting well, and you are accepting what I'm telling you, but down the road is a different corner, and you might not just want to go on. See? But if you really are my disciples, you will start with me, and you will finish with me concerning what I am telling you. And notice, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let's go to verse 37. Jesus says, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, these people didn't believe. They couldn't take it. And the fact of the matter is, they weren't meant to take it. But there was a group of people that were meant to take it. So, let's read 45 to 47. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, there again, who's got the truth? He that is of God, he heareth God's word, providing it is God's word. And he that's of God doesn't hear anything but God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. See? All right. Let's go to John 10. There's many verses we could read, but look, that's all right. Let's take the first four verses in 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and they know me. And 26 to 30. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now we're talking about a shepherd, and this is the chief shepherd, and the pastors are sub-shepherds. So for anyone to doubt, there is a tremendous authority, gift, and ministry, and a true fivefold minister pastor, to doubt that is sacrilegious, is foolish. So, we see then the chief shepherd. All right, one cannot help but notice that the chief shepherd was at a complete loss to be effective in his power and authority, wherein he could save from the uttermost to the uttermost, except they believed his word. They had to believe the word. In other words, God himself is bound by his own word, and he is powerless to act apart from his word. In other words, God has a definition, and the definition, it always signifies limits. Nothing can be defined except by setting limits. Are you letting it sink in? You people are scientists, not me. You show me something that has definition without limits. You can't define it. There's no way. You say, what about a piece of cold that's amorphous? No problem. Throw it in a tub of water. Pick the water up and see what the weight and everything else is. Nothing that doesn't have definition. Gas that you can't see or smell has definition. Everything has valence. Weight, everything else is involved in there. All right. He was utterly ineffective to those who were not a part of the efficacious plan and the benefits thereof. Right? All right, let's read John 10, 22 to 27. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's a good one right there. Show me this. Show me the people that can produce that one. But you believe not. Now he bypasses the works and goes right to the word. You believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and so on. Let's go back to John 8 and 37. Again, and it says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. So then what is the definition of seed? The definition of the seed of God and those of the kingdom of God are going to be those who have a definite susceptibility, and not just a susceptibility, but a craving and an allocation of a place for the word of God. All right, let's go to John 14. 10 and 11, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's telling you right there, the manifestation of the grace that he showed the people through the miracles, signs, and wonders was to be what? The platform for the word, the launching pad for the word. Their faith. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, and so on. Right down the line there. Okay, with this, we want to go back again to John 3:16. And you may be tired of me repeating and repeating, but I'll tell you one thing, it'll finally sink in. See, that's the name of the game. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that is the thesis. That is what God did, but there are strings attached to it. Now, the strings are not churchianity, joining a church or listening to any certain person. That is to say, as though you have somebody elected to an office. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now, watch the key word, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now it tells you right there, the strings attached is a believing. And no matter what Jesus did without believing, it's not going to do you good. Now listen, watch, what is the condemnation? And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. In other words, God showed forth. God manifesting. The light in the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. All right, now what is the one thing that we know illuminates God's? In nature can only tell you there is a God, but the word of God is the only thing that defines God. God, to be defined, you must come to what he says about himself. No man of his own can figure what God is like. He must be told. Because the best man will do is completely pervert. So what we're looking at here now is also John 7, 37 to 39. Let us look at that carefully. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice, as the Scripture has said. So there is a definition that we go by. No matter what is said, no matter what is thought, we have a definition. And the definition is positively the Word of God. Now let's keep reading. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Now this is when Jesus was 33 years old. 33 years previously, the slaughter of the innocents had been not only contemplated, but had been carried out. Now, how long do you think it would take you to forget the slaughter of innocents? You could never forget it. Then the question is, why were they slaughtered? Because the wise men came. That'd be about 30 years ago. They came 3 years after, roughly. They came and they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And they brought in the scribes, and the scribes said, there's only one place he could be born, and that is Bethlehem. But everybody forgot about it. Why didn't they check it out? Now, we can sit here as Monday morning generals, armchair generals. And we can say, well, I'm going to tell you something. I simply cannot understand their folly, because I can tell you, I certainly would be aware. You are a liar. I'd be honest with you. I'll try to smile when I'm saying it. Because you know that's not the truth. The very fact that you and I would say, I would see that, proves we wouldn't see it. That's not how it works. Only the very few will ever see it. The very elected few. The world will never see it. There's going to be just a tiny few ever see it. Now, once it's been pointed out, there isn't one person who reads the Bible. There isn't one denomination, one organizational person, Christian, sitting in a pew or out of a pew, just staying home, but couldn't say, well, hey, that's easy. I can see that. That's what they should have done. And I know by my seeing it now, I've been smart enough to see it. No way. It doesn't work that way. How many were smart enough to see the ark? 8 in 1 family. How many are going to make the rapture that is standing here, living? Don't ask. It's a very, very tiny number. That's why you should be very happy if you should die. Again, it's no laughing matter, but it's the truth. Think it over. Out of the millions of Israel, 7,000 had not bowed the knee in the time of Elijah. It's always been a tiny, tiny number. So there was division among the people because of him. And that's what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that no matter what God Almighty's done and what he's doing today, there has to be the ordained who will take it to the people. There has to be the ordained people who will receive it. The rest will not receive it. Now, every sub-pastor or sub-shepherd is in the same place as the chief shepherd. He has been ordained of God according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Now, let's take a look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, because there's where Paul enumerates what God has done. And you'll notice that these people are gifts to the church. So it says here in the 4th chapter. Verse 4, beginning verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now God's running the whole show, it's in his hands. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, every single person. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captain, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he has descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Now, we know that was right down into Hades. That was Christ in the spiritual part. And he that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the same one that went down into the earth, into Hades, preached to the souls in prison, went up there and brought his spirit back upon us. All right, now watch what he did. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers a fivefold ministry. They are gifts to the church. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. coming from a position that is totally vulnerable to a position that is invulnerable. Now remember, you don't get to the invulnerable position as a group of people outside of this ministry and outside of the last day. So all you that have been sold a bill of goods, my church is right. We have authority. You are perfectly deluded. I'm sorry, but you're deluded. And the very men that tell you they're teaching you the Word of God are liars. Because here's the Word of God. Now you can read it. Not forbidden, I read it. You read it. Pick up any version. I got about 33 different versions in my home. Where all the Greek students have studied. Everybody looked at them. And there's certain scripture, no matter how you try to turn it to make your church right, you cannot turn it. Now, one scripture nobody can possibly change is this, that only those ordained to eternal life get it. So the ministry is ordained, and the people are ordained. This is why a pastor can be the shepherd and the husband of the church, local, and see you through. It's not some pipe dream. It's not something that's far-fetched. It's the truth. Now, we see here the pastor is ordained. Now, let's look at Ephesians 1 and see the congregation ordained. Because here is the head pastor of his hour, the apostle and prophet Paul. And he says in verse 3, chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and both which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." Then it tells you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and see us in. Now that tells you the congregation is predestinated. The entire body of the Lord Jesus Christ is predestinated. But you remember this, in God's predestination, he has not left us without a way of getting it done. Now, there's where the hard shells get wrong, the hard shell Baptist. And I'm pretty close to a hard shell, believe me. They say, well, look, you're going to get saved anyway, so there's no special means. There is a special means, and the means is you must be born again or filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, you can't trust till you hear the word. The gospel of your salvation, that's what you want to listen to. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, there's a rapture coming up. Then Paul tells you what happens before the rapture. What does he do? Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that we talked about over here, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named on this world only, but the world to come. Now it tells you right there that God is going to send the Spirit into the church, in the midst of the church, to bring a revelation which is going to guarantee a resurrection, which is going to guarantee a genuine bride will be seen all the way through and she'll be standing right here and take of the tree of life and be caught up out of the earth, immortal to God. Now, how is it going to be done? You say, well, it's going to be done by the Spirit of God. Thank you. Your answer is correct. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 4 again, see how correct your answer is now. Taking 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. wherewith he says, when he sent it up on high and led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. What are those gifts? He gave men as gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. So Brother Branham is 100% correct. All right. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. This is just before the rapture, right after the rapture. This is, and before too. And here's the Antichrist. All right. This wicked one that's to be revealed. And he's going to come in verse 9. According to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, like he fooled Cain, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now notice, the love of the truth that they might be saved. You say, well, I thought Jesus died that I could be saved. That's exactly right, and that's the gospel. But if you don't receive the truth, you're not going to get it. The fact that he died, the fact he shed his blood, the fact that he rose again, what does that mean to you? There's definition required here. You've got to follow through. Now listen. And for this cause, they wouldn't receive the truth. God sent strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Not a lie, the lie is what the Greek says. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But listen now. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. You're not going to get damned. You believe the truth. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, watch now, through sanctification of the Spirit, even the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it tells you there, everything that God provided for you has strings attached to it. It has definition. See? So, our original statement, a predestinated, ordained pastor is what Brother Branham was talking of to a predestinated, ordained people. Now, I'm not going to carry this too far, or the next thing you have me saying is, well, you were ordained to a certain pastor, and a certain pastor ordained to you, and you've got to know and he's got to know. We'll talk about that. I'm just going to leave it right where the Bible leads it. And I think that's the way to go. Every pastor, as a husband, must be in the same mold as Jesus. Now, here we're talking about the husband, the head of the church, the whole bit, it's the Bible. And that's in Ephesians 5:25-27. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, let me tell you something. If the pastor is the husband of the church, spiritually speaking, and I'll read what Brother Brand said on that. Then, the pastor is obligated to show a love for the church as a husband to the wives, even as Christ loved the church. And remember, love in the Greek. The number one root word is respect. The number one sentiment, never will you find Dr. Wiest ever leave it out. It's always called self-sacrificial love. You know, actually, this is a pretty muggy thing I'm going to say right now. It's just bad. But when you go into a home and the little children are lacking food and care, because they don't have enough of this world's goods. Who is it that usually starves to give the children food? It's the mothers. Got to shake my head, brother, sister. Mother Church is not it. Mother Church is of the devil, pure and simple, positively. The wife does not control the husband. The Bible speaks of the father pitying his children. Oh, mothers do it too, but there's something wrong with us. And I'm going to lay it on the table. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. You know why it's wrong? We've been taught wrong. Holy Mother Church, bring your candles. Holy Protestant Church support the UNICEF. They made the church the repository of the grace of God that's alive from the pit of hell. And there are no holy ones amongst us. You know what I'm talking about this morning, my brother and my sister, because you know in your own homes that your wives have sacrificed more than the husbands ever thought of. So it's about time the church got back to type. It's time the pastor sacrificed. It's time that the husband sacrificed. It's time the men went out on a limb. There won't be many men left anymore. They've been entirely emasculated by the women's lib. Women today in minority groups now outnumber men in occupations. You know something? We've got a rugged road to hoe and a rough life ahead. We ought to draw near to Christ and each other as you've never done before, my brother and my sister. And you can only do it by the Word of God. I still preach to you people sitting here this morning, listen to me. If you're building on anything outside of this Word, if you're building on Levi, let me tell you, I will let you down so fast and so bad as to scatter your brains and your limbs on the sidewalk. We all need to get to God through His Word because there's a conduit. We haven't got time to indulge in personalities. A little bit's a hogwash. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. What did Christ give Himself for? He gave Himself for this Word. Then do you think He'll accept you and me taking anything less and saying, well now, Lord, thank You, Jesus, You're lovely, and You died upon the cross, and we thank You for this and that, and then bypass the Word? The Bible said, he that bypasses the Word of God or ignores it, God said, I'll ignore all of it. That man is an abomination. He said, his prayers are an abomination unto me. You can't bypass the Word. Now listen, what is this Word going to do? That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, without blemish. But listen, isn't this what Ephesians says in the fourth chapter, that the fivefold ministry is to do? Is to bring it to this tremendous place, right up to the presence of Christ? So that when the church rises, it'll fit exactly to the headstone, which is Christ. God manifest once more in a human body, which has been immortalized and glorified. So that's what you're looking at. You cannot change the Word of Almighty God, my brother, my sister. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you this, that when God gave men to the church, He gave, number one, the word prophet. God was in the prophets, and God is in the prophets, because God has not left prophets. I think we have seen the last one for the Gentile church age of William Branham. I believe that with all my heart. There was a prophet of God manifested to be so, because he had every identification. And when you see the thing identified, what more do you want? Well, I'll talk to my priest. I'll talk to my pastor. I'll talk to my elder. I'll talk to the council. Go ahead and talk all you want. Why don't you go to the Word of God and find out? Are they somehow so spiritual and educated? When did education bring on spirituality? Ha! Education's lining up for everybody to get AIDS and die with it. Now they get HIV too. Now it'll be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they're so happy, we're going to get it cured. And you get a bigger one that you can't cure. There's your education. They're going to tell you how to engage in illicit acts and come out on top. You're already dead. You're trying to kid. I like what I read just yesterday or the day before in the paper. How many little kids in school are being tested for AIDS? None. Why shouldn't they be? They're afraid to test. The wrath of God's upon the people. You know why? Because He turned down the Word. Amen. You only know, brother, sister, you only know God by a Word. You only know anything defined by a Word. There is nothing that you do, that you know, really, outside a Word. Because that is the medium to convey and to understand. Now, I can look at piano. If I'm an ignorant person, never saw one. I say, what is that? That's an organ. What is that? I said, they tell me that's an organ. I said, well, what do you mean an organ? Well, an organ is, well, here it is. Come and look at it, and I'll tell you. That's just the name of it, and I'll tell you all about it. You've got teaching, brother, sister. Always includes the precept as well as the example. You can't get away from it, see? Now, Jesus taught this to Peter, what I'm saying now, And that is this position the pastor holds in the church, and every minister holds in the church, is to bring the unmitigated, unadulterated, simple Word of God to a simple people who can be led, because sheep are simple and shepherds are not too complex. If the shepherd or the teacher is too complex, you're never going to get off the ground. Now, listen to what Peter was taught by Jesus as Jesus was preparing to go away and leave Peter and the apostles to themselves and the Holy Ghost to minister to the church. John 21 and 15, reading it again. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's the loaves and the fishes. Jesus said, you didn't follow me to come and see the word and to hear the word. You followed me because you wanted more loaves and fishes. See? Now, Peter, are you with the loaf and fishes crowd? And Peter said, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. Now, Jesus used the word agape, or the agapo love, and this is the filial love. And so Jesus said, feed my lambs. And in the Greek, it's actually rule. Rule, take care, rule my lambs. He said again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The same word again, the supreme word. And he said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. That's just a kindly affection toward you. And he said, feed my sheep. The word is feed at this time. Number 17, he said to Simon, son of Jonas, do you only just love me with a kind of a brotherly nice love? Is that all I am to you? And Peter was grieved because he had to ask him the third time and ask him that way, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know all things and you know my heart. I might have said with my mouth, it's just a little bit of filial love, but you know inside, I'd be ready to die for you. And Jesus said, then you rule my sheep. Now, lest we come to where Peter came and the fivefold ministry comes there, and I'm going to say this, I see by my own life and the lives of others, we are a million miles from it. This is the requisite right here. The constant feeding, the constant ruling, the constant sacrifice that's incumbent upon the pastors, the fivefold ministry, which is also incumbent upon the church in its own degree, in its own way. You cannot leave it alone. Now, Peter acknowledged this. Now, watch what Peter did when he passed on the very same information to the pastors that he knew in the first church age. And it's 1 Peter 5, 1-4. We read it before, read it again. The elders which are among you I exhort. Now that's the pastors, the one in authority. Who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now remember, he was there on Mount Transfiguration, and he was there at the same time that they fed them at the Sea of Galilee. Now watch what he said. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not because you're put upon, but because you want to do it with the right motives. Now, no man truly called of God will want to do it. He won't want to be in that position, but he will be because he knows God wants him. A ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, get this, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Paul set the church in order. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, which we read many, many times, watch what he warned them about. Beginning at verse 2-4. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband. There's a chief husband. See? Now watch what he's doing as a lesser husband. I've espoused you to the chief husband, me being a lesser husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, to him, even as you are or should be a chaste virgin to me by the word. Now look, I'm out of the picture. If I present to you the word of God that is true and real, is vindicated by a vindicated message, there is no doubt that you who are ordained are virgins to the word of Almighty God, and be virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. What happens? The devil comes around and attempts to steal the virginity to the word by seduction. Now listen. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, everybody likes to throw at you, well, don't commit adultery. No, you shouldn't commit adultery. Don't lie. No, you shouldn't lie. And they throw that at you, and they throw it at you. But they don't throw this at you. How come they don't? Because this is a feeding. And it's a feeding of the mind. This is the mind age. Why do you think everybody's exploring the mind from Freud on? Everything is mind, 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 mind. Do you know that, just diverting a bit here, and I'll get back to it. Do you know that, I think it was at the White House or near the White House, there were some well-trained mentalists that come from the guru teaching, which would be Eastern philosophy, and they rolled out a carpet 100 feet long, and they sat there with their legs crossed, sitting down, their arms folded, and meditated. Suddenly, all three rose in the air and went forward. Dropped, went the entire length. There wasn't a muscle twitching, anything else but pure meditation. The guru that, I've known of this for years, the guru that taught them says, that's levitation. You know, it was used back in the days of the Apostle Paul, that great sorcerer back there. He could actually go, you could close every door, lock it, and barricade it, and he would float out that open window into the other open window, two and three stories above the sidewalk. History. Now, they're looking for people. Pretty soon now, he said, we will be able to fly. In other words, we'll be able to go a distance. You say, do you believe in heaven? Nothing to stop it. As far as I know. Mind. It's not that mind's over matter. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this is the mind age. And every place, scripturally, physically, I don't care where you go, there is a study of the mind until the Russians are looking into it way ahead of the other nations. Way, way ahead of us. Some of our smart scientists are looking into it. They're learning, teaching you how now to use the right side of your brain as well as the left side, because everybody uses the left side almost continuously. And now you can learn to use the right. What I'm trying to show you is this. This scripture here is for this hour as never before, because you've got to get back to a virgin of the word or you're not going to be in the bride. I'm sorry, but that's the Bible. And I'm not going to try to change it because I like it. I like it on the grounds, I believe we've got a vindicated message. For the first time since the Apostle Paul left, somebody came with thus saith the Lord and stood there and challenged the people. In India, the man that worshipped the sun until his eyes were burned out. And he told them before hundreds of thousands of people, he said, all right, the Jains were there and the Buddhists were there and the Taoists were there. They were all there. And he said, all right, you pray in the name of your God and see that man healed. They just stood mighty mum. Well, he said, what if I pray in the name of my God and the man gets healed? Will you then believe God? Oh, yeah. Because they knew it wasn't going to be done, but it was. He prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they thought Brother Branham was some kind of a God and wanted to rip his clothes off or just touch him. They missed the point entirely. Didn't do a thing hardly for India. It wasn't meant to. It's meant for you. And how can some of you sit here and go the way you're going? I'm asking a question. You kids are not too old to know the truth. You're not too old to make decisions and follow God. Put the things out of your life that shouldn't be there. Listen. Your minds must not be corrupted from that simplicity in Christ, the original word of God. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, what was the Jesus that Paul preached? The one he met on the Damascus road. And said, who art you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. That was not a man sitting on a throne. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, Jehovah, in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire. There is one God. There aren't two gods. There aren't three gods. There's one God. That God made a body through the virgin womb of Mary by creating the sperm and the egg and letting her become the incubator, so to speak, of the legitimate chemical factory. And brought forth a superhuman being that God indwelt. So therefore, Jesus was total man and total God. Because he was a total man of his birth. And he was total God by the fact he was sired by God through a creative act. And God himself indwelt the man. Where do you get two gods out of that? What do you do about Jesus' baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Show me one place in Scripture anybody's baptized any other way but Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles. For he that preaches, come and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Receive another spirit who have not received another gospel. It said right there, you can have another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And that's exactly what the churches have. How do you know? Because this man said so. Oh, well, our great glorious tradition. Oh, wash for your tradition. Every preacher you ever knew and read in history has died. He never came back. Not one of them had thus saith the Lord. It's absolutely the truth. Every religious author will tell you for the first time in 2,000 years, and that man was a ministry duplicating the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, they blaspheme him and everything else about him. Let him do it. It's their privilege. Let's go to Galatians, the first chapter. Let's see what Galatians has to say. Here's what Paul the Apostle says, Galatians 1, 6 to 9. I love it. I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's only one gospel. There's just a bunch of humbug. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There you are. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. How many times you heard the great churches, the holy churches, cursing people, everything else? They're the ones that are cursed. Deceived and deceiving. There's only one curse, brother, sister, that you get off the word. And that curse can go two ways, which we'll talk about, maybe not this morning, but later down the road. One will end in the second death. The other curse, you'll be punished on earth here. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Again. And remember, take these strong verses, memorize them in the sense you know exactly where they are. Take 17 again. Obey them that have the rule over you, who feed you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Every pastor has to give account. How am I going to give account to Almighty God in the day of judgment for you people? Let's find out. You may do it with joy and not with grief, and that is for that's unprofitable. Now watch the 7th verse. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose revelation follow, their faith follow, considering the end of their life's behavior. What's the man do? He brings the word of God. And if he doesn't, he leads you astray, he will answer to God for you, and he will receive far greater punishment in the lake of fire than you would receive. Let's go to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and that's the last verse I'll use, but let's just find out if I'm telling you the truth or not, because people say, I believe the Bible, then believe the Bible. What does it say here in Acts 20 when Paul called all the elders, the same as Peter said, you elders? Paul says in verse 26, therefore I take you to make a record this day, or to record this day somewhere, that I am pure from the blood of all, everybody. The word men is interpolated. For why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Therefore, you people listen, you elders. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. See, to rule and to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Who are those grievous wolves? According to Matthew 7, they're false preachers and false teachers. Listen, also men of your own selves shall arise, speaking perverted or perverse things, to draw away disciples. Tells you right there, they're going to take what Paul said and mess with it. Just to say the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. So what is the word? What are we trying to bring to you this morning? We're trying to bring to you this thought. That this man is a pastor. He is a husband. And he's the shepherd. On one condition. That he has the word of God to give it to you. And you are sheep that you can eat it. That you're a proper wife. That you'll listen and you'll follow it. The same with the shepherd. All right. Now at this point we must be very careful. We have set forth an unchangeable principle. It is this. The word of God both feeds and corrects, and its reception and assimilation determine our whole relationship to the kingdom of God. Now, come on. What you do isn't worth a plug nickel outside of this word. I'm sorry. Now, I can amend that by saying, sure, at the white throne judgment, you can get off a little easier because you didn't know this and didn't know that, and you only did this and you only that. But we are talking now of the bride church. We are talking now of the things of the kingdom of God. Let me assure you, my brother, my sister, that I'm telling you the truth. The word of God both feeds and corrects, and its reception and assimilation determine our whole relationship to the kingdom of God. You reject it, you shot your wad. No more kingdom. All right, now let's find what the Bible says. This is a categorical statement based upon Matthew, the 13th chapter, the parable of the sower and the seed. So let's take a look and see if I'm right. We read, first of all, verses 1 to 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him. He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude sat on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came devouring them up, some on stony places. There was not much earth, forthwith they sprung up. And because there was no depth to the earth, the sun came up, scorched them, and they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others found the good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. He that hath ear, let him hear. Now he tells you what this means, 18 to 23. Hear the parable of the sower and the seed. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside. Now the seed was good seed. Guy couldn't take it. Satan grabs it. Now watch. He that received the seed into stony places, same good word, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, with joy receives it. That's right away he receives it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth a while, when persecution and tribulation arise, because of the word, by and by he's offended. He drops off. He also received the seed, that's the word, among the thorns is he that received the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Why, the word said, you can't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. Now listen, we're not naive here. Are we? No, we're not. You and I both know. We all know. There's some of this word that we just don't pay attention to. We don't want it to bother us. Now, some of you sitting here, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know, and I know. And you'd be awfully dumb if you didn't think I didn't know, and I'd be awful dumb if I didn't think for 1 minute that certain things aren't going on. Oh, you know, I wouldn't say you're going to go to hell for it. I would just say that there's some things should be more carefully looked into and followed, even though we don't like it. Let me illustrate. The Roman Catholics, I refused birth control. You know what? They're right. But they say, Popey, old boy, we're going to do it anyway. I'll tell you what you do. You tell us it's okay. Now, except in extreme cases where it could be the death of the mother. Birth control except by natural means, and there are natural means that are very good if you study. In fact, Yugoslavia claims they've got it down to a complete 100% proof. It's all very natural. The word of God's against those things. See, you'd be surprised how many people, especially women, walk off because they say, well, you can't cut your hair. Bible's against it. Won't make you spiritual. Won't make you Christian. The Bible just says there are certain things in there you can't do or you're supposed to do. How many walk off? How many walked off when the slacks came on the scene? What about men? How many have left? Right here the group is. Hallelujah, great prophet. Signs and wonders. Oh, we believe. But soon as the word came, the cares of the world became just too many. Couldn't pay a price. Now, we'll talk about that later on. It can be rectified. But let's watch verse 23. But he that received the word, the seed in good ground, is he that hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, bringing forth 100 or 63. Now listen, let me tell you something. Many times you have to receive the word of God and not truly understand it. But you follow it. There'll come a time when your understanding will become more fruitful and you'll be more amenable and compatible and one with the word. I've told you many times when Brother Branham would preach against short hair. And I'd literally laugh at him, because you know, I'm an awful tough nut to crack when it comes to certain things. And my terrible sense of humor doesn't help either. And I'd say, oh, come on, Bill. I've seen those mean old gals with long hair. They could lick the jam off of a doorknob, and they're as mean as my old cow when she got mad and hauled me across the prairie, me digging my heels in and cussing every inch of the way. He said, Lee, I didn't say it made her spiritual. It's just that the Word of God demands it, and that's all there is to it. Well, I couldn't see it for quite a year, well, years afterwards. So finally, one day, some of my buddies and I were studying with Brother Branham's message, talking it, as you should do. Talk the Word of the Lord. Get together and do it. And I said, boys and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. I said, Brother Branham has got me over a barrel here. I said, this man doesn't deal with tiddlywinks. And he would never tell us to tell our wives not to cut their hair unless there's something to it. And I said, I don't know what it is. But I know one thing. That man does not fool with little things that don't mean anything. It's got to mean something. It's got to be important in my books. So I'm going to go tell my wife. Now, look, it's up to you. And the other one guy said, well, I'm going to tell my wife. And the third guy said, I'm going to tell mine. All right. I talked to my wife and I said, look, I don't understand this and get this. We both know Brother Branham, though. And we know that he doesn't deal with inconsequential, foolish things. So if I were you, I'd let my hair grow, but it's up to you. I'm not going to make you do it. And she said, well, from this time on, it'll grow. The next friend said to his wife, and she had real pretty hair, she let her grow, and it's been, real attractive. The other guy said to his wife, and she said, nuts to you, boy. And that was the end of that. She kept her hair short, and she said, and I would not want to be where I'm afraid one person might have already gone. He'll have to sit in some kind of judgment because he left the understanding of Brother Brown there. The wife never did take it. She was just strictly with Pentecostal. Now, these things can be rectified here, but you'll notice what it says in understanding. Now, this is one reason we teach Brother Brown's sermons most of the time, word by word, in order to get a real understanding of what the prophet was saying. Because according to that, it is not what you do about the word per se as the basis of trying to make a mark. It is you receiving the word, believing it, so that the life begins to take over and you produce what the word says. And you'll have battles. Sure you'll have battles. Come on. You can't go out there and not face battles. Fat. You can't get up in the morning and not face battles and go to bed at night and not face battles. But the true understanding of the word and the acquiescence to it will give you the power to produce. Because the word is a conduit to the Holy Ghost. And we are a conduit to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost cannot operate and work unless the Word is in us. Then we become those epistles read and known of all men. And I say, I believe, I am convinced today that my stand is 100% right in this church, what I'm teaching and preaching. But we have not yet consecrated ourselves to the depth of the revelation of this Word. And I'm afraid that's just the way it is. We got 8 hours to work and this and that and the other thing. But we simply don't put enough of our thinking and our time on this word. And I think God had the answer back in the days of Israel. And he said, make phylacteries and bind them upon your forehead. A little box, a little tiny box right here between the eyelids. It was a frontlet. And as you, every time you bob, 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 the box was boing, 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 reminding you of the word of God in that box. And also upon the wrists. So every time you did something, that little thing chatter, chatter, rattle, rattle, or bang, bang on you, letting you know the word is what you're dealing with. See? Now, Rahab let the little scarlet thread out the window because she had a word. That scarlet thread would have been nothing except for the word. So with the blood of Jesus Christ, my brother and sister, can bring condemnation and not life without the word. So the pastor is obligated to teach the word of God all the way through. And you'll notice in here, bring forth 30, 60, and 100. Now, let's just take a look at this word of God here. In the third epistle of John, little tiny book just before Jude and Revelation. And in verse 2 it says, Beloved, I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Now you tell me, what more physically could you want than to have good health, plenty of money, not a lot of money, just, you know what I mean, your necessities and these things, because give us this day our daily bread doesn't say, help me lay up treasure for 640 years and $4 million for the kids. It's give us this day our daily bread. But how would you, listen, what could you ask more totally than that? And it's based upon the prospered soul. Now, how does a soul prosper? There's only one way, brother, sister, that's by the word of God, it tells you. Some 100, some 60, some 30. In other words, the application of the living word to your life and mine, based upon the constant seeking to understand and thereby apprehend the truth and the meat of it, has a power released in us to do the things we're looking at. And it's going to come to the day, and we'll speak on it, where Brother Branham talks when God told him, pick up your pen and write, and told him what the bride would be and how she would conduct herself. I'm afraid many people are looking at that in a Pentecostal way. In this church, we do not. We look at it in the complete holistic approach, dealing from the soul to the outer part, and then out in this way. And I know before the bride gets out of here, there is going to be a bride on this earth that fulfills that entire prescription. She will be a word bride. And I say, why not us? I don't see why we should look down the road and look for some other church. I don't have to worry about anybody's church. I just worry about this church. Now, we read chapter 13 of Matthew. How much time we got? Okay, we read chapter 13. Now, I'm going to show you chapter 13 followed chapter 12. You say, sure it does. 13 always follows 12. Exactly right. But I want to draw your attention to it and what's in the 12th chapter. So let's go back to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Now we've got your attention. We're going to start reading, and it's going to be verses 22 we start with. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people amazed and said, is not this the son of David? When the Pharisees heard it, they said, no way is this the son of David. This is the other guy. This fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, this is the work of the devil, true and true, and this is the devil's man. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. All right, now what did he say a while ago concerning the kingdom? And I said, as I mentioned a while ago, that this word that corrects and feeds determines our relationship to the kingdom of God by our assimilating it. I proved that in the 13th chapter parable, right? Absolutely does. What you bring forth depends on assimilation. All right, now notice, he said the kingdom is divided and the house is divided. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How should his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom your children cast them out, therefore shall they be your judges. And I said, look, you can't have it both ways. He said, your children are doing it, and I'm doing it. He said, they're wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, they're wrong. Now make up your mind. That's where the Church of Christ is. They say Satan can heal. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost right there. Amen. I don't care who they are. Satan cannot heal. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, when you don't have divine healing, you can get natural healing. And the devil didn't do that. God created. See? Now, the devil can fool a lot of people in seances and things, but let's get with the Word of God. Now, he said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Now, that tells you right there that Satan cannot touch you if you let your faith in God, which God is defined by the word, stand there. You are a free, unbounded person that can face the devil any day of the week and any minute. Now, this is the word of God I am talking about, and Brother Branham explained this. So now you've got your pick. Listen, if we can get this morning, how are we going to do it? See, God, come and hit me with a bolt of lightning. I don't know how we're going to get this. But you realize what I'm talking about in relationship to the kingdom means this, that all those things that I know and you know we are not doing right or we are wrong gives us the victory over them. See, I've got to preach that and build, and this church in my books has got to be built on it. See? What made Brother Branham the man that he was? It wasn't just a visitation from God. That would have left him completely dried up, erratic, and insane. It was God revealing himself by the Word. The revelation was so great he could take any word and stand there and say, I defy the world and the kingdom of darkness. And knew that millions could challenge and not the millions stand up against it. You're dealing with God, brother, sister, like Moses. One man went down and led out Israel. One man army. And look at the handicap. A wife and two kids on a mule. Bad enough to go down himself. With just a stick. Now he's got to look out for somebody. Now, how can the strong man's house, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? Then he spoiled the house. In other words, if you let Satan trick you on this word, and I let him, faith goes out the window. Our strength is gone. We can become pawns to Satan. But if we stand with this word, now look, I am enunciating simple principles that are so deep and so rugged and so tough, and yet so gentle and so sweet and so mild, that I'm utterly confused with you because I've lived 73 years now. And how many of us are getting here? I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's going to get here. We're getting there. I believe there's growth. I believe there's growth. But I want you to see what the people in the fivefold ministry are obligated to you, and what you're going to get. Now, if you want a bunch of gifts, you're looking at the wrong guy. I've ceased to be charismatic. I'm sorry, I'm not a spellbinder, and I'm no longer fluid and a charismatic order, and all those nice things. I cannot weave you around myself this way, that way. I'm only telling you one thing. My God, people, let us get together on the Word. And it starts with the revelation. Starts with the doctrine. He served us. The first doctrine that was in the Bible that came against the Word was, leave now, let me tell you. Let's sit down here and talk. I'm going to explain the doctrine. You're not going to die. And she died flat. And we've all been dying since. You cannot get away from the doctrine, brother, sister. The minute you do, your actions will be corrupt. As Eve was barricaded behind the Word, there was nothing would go wrong. And the minute she stepped up from behind the Word, she got clobbered. So let's understand what the prophet said. Now listen. He said, he that is not with me is against me. I know I'm with you, Lord. I got a word. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. In other words, he that does not take the same word that I give is working against me. See? Let's read on. Now listen. Wherefore, now watch the conclusion. I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost should not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man should be given him, because Christ hadn't died yet. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, because he wasn't given yet, shall not be forgiven, meaning the world, this world or the world to come. Now watch. Now watch now. Keep going. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Oh, now watch now. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. See? But I say, everyone speak any idle word that men speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you're condemned. Now you tell me, what word will justify you in the sight of God? God's word, not yours. So what do you need above everything in the world? Not to simply know this message by rote, that I can quote this quote and that quote, but to take it into our hearts as living doctrine that this is what is going to give me life. Listen, I'm banking. I don't know what you people are doing in my own feeble way, and it's a feeble way, I must admit. I'm banking on it, or I am not getting out of here. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not going to have anything. This is not just my last resort, brother, sister. This is my resort. See, if you start talking about last resort, the devil come right along and trick you and say, well, here's another one you overlooked. Hogwash. Oh, I'm not stupid. I'm, to a degree I am, but I'm not stupid in this thing. This is not a last resort. This is the last end time message. This is my resort. I'm going to get out of here because of the word of Almighty God. See? Now, no man can blaspheme the Holy Ghost without first rejecting the word manifested, which is interpretation. Now, listen, let me read this to you and I'll explain it to you. No man can blaspheme the Holy Ghost without first rejecting the word manifested in interpretation, and then explained so the sheep can follow it. In other words, as Brother Branham said, God interprets his word by manifesting it. This is peculiar in our day as in the day of Jesus. The word manifested, Christ the Logos, he that has seen me has seen the Father, no doubt about it. They said, forget it. This man's not a God, he's the devil. See, he did the miracles and signs to prove who he was, to vindicate that he had the right, as the word fulfilled, to be the Messiah, to tell the people the truth. And they said, we won't have it. You see, what happened? When the word is interpreted by manifestation, you're at your tail end of it. You're right up against it where you got to make a decision, and your decision will be an eternal one. Now, how do you judge this and what this man did and spoke according to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and John 14 and 12 and right down the road? Fulfilled again, John 15 and 25, scripture after scripture. How do you interpret that? What do you say about it? So, well, I know that that's God. Now you're on the right track. Out of that will come an understanding, because he must follow with a dissertation to explain, because that's the job of a prophet. Then the fivefold come after. If you say, that is absolutely not a God, it is a devil. Then what happens? The words that come out of your mouth have shown exactly where you stand, because by your words you're condemned or you're justified. These people that believe him will absolutely have to go to the word of Almighty God and base every one of their, now listen to the word, because I'm going to use it very wrong. You base every one of your prejudices for it. It's not too bad a word. The word prejudice is a kind of a word that means, hey, I'm against it. But I'm prejudiced to the word of God. It means I'm against everything else. So no matter what anybody tries to tell me about this man in the ministry, I'm not interested. Now look. They reply and say, just a minute. I said, no, just a minute. You are not interested. I am. Why should I leave my interest for your interest? I've been all through it. There's no vindication there. None at all. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You may believe this, and I hope you do. I stand with John the Apostle. And I'm going to have to close with this because our time's gone. If I am telling you the truth the way John spoke of Jesus Christ, and he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes and have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life, the life was manifested, we have seen and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was the Father manifest unto you. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Now that tells you, John said, look, I'm going to tell you about me and Jesus. If you listen, you've got the same things that I've got. Now, according to God's word, he said, I'm praying not only for those that believe me and my word, but those who believe me and my word because of them. Sanctified by the truth. I say the same thing. I was with William Branham. For years, I knew the man well. I saw the mighty works of God. I saw his life. I saw it all. And I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't be in this pulpit teaching what I'm teaching, except I've got the 100% utmost confidence that what I'm telling you from my own experiences and my understanding of the word, that if I believe I've got something real, there's no doubt that you've got something real. And that's how a pastor in a church functions. Moses ate the same manna that he called upon God to bring down from heaven. And the people were healthy and blessed and didn't know it. Then the people forced Moses to call for the fowl. the quail. From that time on, they had troubles. Depends on what a congregation is being fed by what pastors, what teachers, what elders, what deacons, what evangelists, what prophet, if there is one around, there are some. Or what apostle. See, no man can blaspheme the Holy Ghost without first rejecting the word, manifested interpretation, and explained to the sheep can follow. As our God prophet and Paul and William Branham manifested the life and doctrine of God, proving the word that they said was correct. So every charismatic believer, even though he could be like Judas, the devil, and use a real gift of God. Now, let's face it, that's the truth of the Bible. Because Judas did it, you can't say, well, all the rest, but Judas did it. You cannot pervert the word of God. Judas did it. He said, all the 12 came back rejoicing and did it. They signify the truth, not of Hebrews 13 and 8, but Mark 16. Go into all the world, the signs follow. I'm going to ask you this morning, which of you following? Are you taking part of it, the peripheral? Or are you taking all of it? The minute gone? All right, listen, I'm going to close with this. Brother Branham, here's on how can I overcome. He said this concerning Lot's wife. Well, Lot's wife did the same thing. No, see here. Lot saw it was true. So he set out to leave Sodom, leave the denomination, leave the things that bind you to creed, and follow Christ by the Holy Spirit, vindicating yourself by the written word of God. In other words, you took the Bible instead of the creed you set out to follow. Well, like Lot's wife did the same thing, you know. She set out with Lot to follow her husband, her children, her loved ones, but it wasn't in her heart. She still loved the world. So it's possible you can make a start and still be in the world. See, that's what he says in Matthew there. She never overcame. And even though she was well on the road, it finally overthrew her. She had to take one big, long last look. That's where she got caught. Don't look back. Don't have desires. Keep going. See, Israel did the same thing. See, that's why there only two got in over 20. Put your mind on Calvary. In other words, you got to sacrifice. Keep moving toward Christ. See, she started out as an overcomer, but she never did overcome. She left the denomination. Sure she did. She walked out of Sodom with Lot. She wanted to go back and have her hair cut, maybe. Or have her hair cut. You know she had to go back. She just couldn't stand the test. She had to look back again to see what the rest of them were doing. Oh, you know, I have some good friends down there after all. That's right. No doubt about that. They're good. There's good people, brother, sister. Don't misunderstand. And after all, this might be just a little move. I don't know whether it could be right or not. I've only got this man's word for it, though he's my husband. But yet, now in parenthesis, your pastor is your husband spiritually speaking, you see. Now, whether it could be right or not, she didn't know. Now, there's the thing that you've got to settle on. If you have no confidence in the preaching of the word in that pulpit, you have no confidence in the way the preacher uses the word, in order to build you up and to benefit you, to keep you secure, to see you get there, get away from that man. Get yourself another one. Now, I'll be in the doghouse for that statement, wherever the tape goes, and I care less. I'm ready for confrontation with swords, cannons, guns, or a little throw sulfuric acid. You met what you want, so to speak, with the word. All holds are barred when it comes to what I preach this morning. I believe what I say. Whether I deliver it or not is another thing, and that's up to you to decide. As I said before this series is over, you could say, well, Brother Vail, we had enough of you. I say, well, fine, thank you. I just go someplace else. You've got the choice. You've got to understand that I am not fooling here. I may be superficial in many ways. I may not be talented according to the Scripture in many ways. I may be a failure. But I'm not going to stay here and tell you something that I believe off the Word of God. I'm going to tell you that Word. And I could qualify as knowing all the mysteries and still not have the Holy Ghost. But I'll not lead you astray by the grace of Almighty God if I've got it. There's one thing you must understand. It is this Word that counts. And not the turning and the fiddling of it. But the constant application through the entire Bible. It's got to be in every age, in every single part of the Word. And we'll deal with the very things that I know cause some of you heartache. I've not got there yet. Just a tiny bit, I said a tiny bit. But we'll deal with some of those things to show you, you are not obligated to any person any more than I am. I have nobody over me. None whatever. I'm obligated to the Word. And there's no big shots among us. There's no holy men amongst us. There's just the Holy Ghost. And in the bride is the presence of Jesus Christ himself in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire. And he will lead us into the millennium. And if we're not there, somebody is going to be there. Amen. And if I'm not preaching this word right, some pastor, some teacher is preaching this word right. Well, I got news for you. I'm not preaching it wrong. So I'm willing to carry the responsibility. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your love to us, your goodness, your mercy, O God. And we know some things are hard, maybe to follow concerning this word, but Lord, we know that the hardness is only in our own thinking. We are not properly counting the cost, which is based in truth, that when we follow your word, we are walking in the sunlight of your love. And though trials may constantly beset us, there is not one that can overcome us. There is not one that will cause us to err and lose our eternal life. There is nothing, Lord, that's falling upon us but is common to all men. Just the ordinary trials of life. And in this age, Lord, we are no different from any other age. In fact, we are highly privileged to know that there was a manifested evidence of truth as there hasn't been for 2,000 years. Lord, I know this makes us more responsible than ever, but that's fine. I don't believe, Lord, any of us are too grieved to be responsible for something that is really true, and we're a part of it. In fact, Lord, I would think that we're all very happy, and we're very glad and secure in such a thing as that. So, Lord, as far as we know this morning, we can honestly say that our failures have been of ourselves. That there is nothing, Lord, you put upon us, and there's nothing you've given us, there's nothing that you've asked of us that isn't really perfectly wonderful and marvelous in the light of this hour. We just need to really smarten up to it, to see how blessed a people we are and how privileged we are at this hour to come to this place. Now, Father, I don't believe I've said anything wrong to the people in any way, shape, or form. If I have, Lord, some little thing here or there, I pray that by this weekend you'll help me to know and to just absolutely correct it to the people so that even if I've expressed something that may have been taken wrong, I pray, Lord, you'll bring my thoughts to it so I can express it right to the people so that they're not going to get off track because, Lord, I'm depending and believing with all my heart in this hour that what I have from you here to give to the people is the truth, Lord, is what is right for them, the ruling and the feeding by the Word of God. Now unto you I commend them, Lord, and myself, and unto thee we give the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. 7:30 next Saturday, don't forget.